Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. We welcome in Doug Whaley. It is, as you heard right there, Wednesdays with Whaley, and Doug has joined. Hello, Doug.
Hello, everybody.
You got your old school Pitt baseball cap on. Your Mark Jackson Pitt baseball cap on.
Absolutely. I dig it. I do. And it was a gift from my buddy Reuben Brown. We were at the Peach Bowl, and he was like, "You don't have a Pitt hat?" I'm like, "No, I like that one." He goes, "Here, take it."
I thought you were going to say nice. From Curvin Richards.
Swervin' Curvin?
Yeah, didn't he play baseball for a little bit?
He did. Yeah, he was a senior when I was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth dude.
Yeah, seems like it.
Not
Absolutely.
With a V-E, with a T-H.
Yes. Duncan, the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. All right, answer me this. So, first preseason game, it's different than your world or any world that people are used to because it's three and not four games. Right. So, how does that then... And this is going on 7 o'clock on Saturday night. You could check out the Steelers in Seattle down at the stadium, which just remains to be the stadium, right? Mm-hmm. How does that change planning? How does that change a roster? What does Mike Tomlin like to use? Division of labor. How does it change all of that when there's three and not four?
That's going to be interesting. I mean, not only is it three preseason games, but you're trying to get ready for a 17-game season, which they did last year, but – when you're looking at three preseason games, you got to really decide, is the first one going to be akin to the first one out of four and then the third one, the fourth one? Or so I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. Talking to a really good friend of mine that's offensive coordinator for another NFL team, they're going to use the third preseason game as the tune-up, as this is what we're going to do where the starters play in at least a half and into the third quarter. I'm not sure where the Steelers are going to land on that, but I could foresee at least either the second or third where you're going to really find out who's going to be the starter, the starting units, giving up probably a 10 to 15 play script, especially on offense, to get them in a flow of how things are going to work once the bright lights are officially on.
Now, nobody really cares about this, but I mean, I experienced it and I would, you know, want to hear your thoughts of assessing the fourth preseason game. Obviously, that's gone. But, you know, whenever you had to go into a fourth preseason game, how did you assess that? I mean, you could find some diving in the roughs there, guys that are trying to make the team on special teams, getting more reps on offense, defense, you know, as you know, at a higher level whenever you're looking down. How are you assessing that fourth preseason game, and was that game really important?
From a personnel standpoint, that was the highlight of preseason. We loved the fourth preseason game because when you really break it down, the roster from one to round, probably 49 or 50 is already set, but you have that 50 to 53, and that fourth preseason game is when you're like, okay, it's time for you to make this team. Also, we're going to have scouts out at other preseason games and saying, well, these last three spots are up. If you see somebody that outplays this guy, that's where you get really build that back into the roster and especially practice squad as well. So, like I said, that's when we smiled ear to ear from personnel side. Yeah, let's get this. Because by that time, you know the good guys. The good guys are going to be the good guys. Cam Hayward, you don't need to see them in preseason at all. I'd love for those guys not to play a down. Think about it. Justin Herbert hasn't played a down in preseason for 2 years. And look at how he's performing. Those guys don't need it. These young guys, that's what you need. And that's how you help that back into the roster, like I said, for backups, because when injuries happen, you know what you to expect from these guys.
Let's assume Mitch Trubisky plays 2-3 series. Mm-hmm. How should the rest of the snaps in this game one be divvied up? And is there as much value in, quote-unquote, showcasing Mason Rudolph for a possible deal as there is in getting Kenny Pickett up to game speed?
I think you do it, you want to showcase both of them. And I'm not saying for trade, but showcase them to see – what can you do when you give them the ball and say, hey, it's your team, lead them. So if Mason goes in number two this game, the next game, Kenny should go in number two and just flip-flop it. And then obviously whatever the third game, if that's the dress rehearsal, you'll have a really good idea of the how that ranking is going to go into the season. But I think you got to give him fair shakes at running either with the twos and the threes or ones and twos. So you can compare apples to apples.
I'm a guy who lives in my fears, and my deepest fear here is that Mitch Trubisky gets hurt, and then the Steelers feel more comfortable with Mason Rudolph starting this season than giving Kenny Pickett a shot.
Well, is it tears for fears or just fears?
Tears. There would be tears there. Tears and I would be very scared. Yes, I would not like this at all.
But what you want to do is, and I know it's not a popular thought process out there, is Kenny Pickett, would you rather him be a 10 to 12 year starter after year one, or come in year one, get his ego and confidence bruised, and be an up and down career for 5 years? Let's play the long game with Kenny. Let's take some time, take some patience, and be able to set him up for success. And that's why I say it's not a popular opinion, but they're not looking at this as we need Kenny to be the next Ben Roethlisberger after three games, come in and take him and go 15-1. That's not what we're looking at for, in my opinion, and I don't think they are. They're looking for this guy to be here for 15 years, and if we got to sacrifice a year to do that, that's okay.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Let's switch gears for a minute, Doug, because you've been there, your boots have been on the ground, you've been at Latrobe for camp. I mean, I ask some inside baseball stuff from when you work for the Steelers, because I think people, at least I'm intrigued by it. I might be the only person who wants the answer to this. But today's the second straight day where midstream they've had to say, all right, we got to go and we got to switch practice time. We're now 10:30. It's normally 1:55. There have been times where they've had to, hey, call Lenzner or whomever. Let's get some buses. We got to go down to the south side. Are they at a disadvantage? We all love being up there. We love being the place, looking at the mountains and all that. Is it at a disadvantage because where they're trying to carry on camp, there's no true indoor facility right there?
There is a little bit of disadvantage because you're not going to be able to get the quality work, and especially with the limitations on how much work you can do and the hours that you are allowed to have those guys, there is. But there's a saying that I'll remember Coach Tomlin always says, you have a plan, but you got to be light on your feet. Mm-hmm. And it's just like in a game. If the game plan's there and then they throw something at you you didn't expect, you got to be able to adjust. And that, I think, is going to build a lot into that character of the team than the amount of work they're missing because of that.
Let me follow that up, too. And this one a little bit more lighthearted, I guess, and not so much about the work. We read from Peter King. We talked to Judy Batista. We talked to all these national people. And they look around and they see people lined up to get into St. Vincent. I mean, lined up on the side of the road. Did you ever see those rookies or those guys in their first camp with the Steelers going, what the hell are all these people doing out here? Yeah, this is not the way life's supposed to be.
Yeah, they're like, wait a minute, what are they paying people to get here? Yes, it was. And then when you actually sit and talk to some of the people are actually taking their vacations. They're not going to the beach. They're coming to Steeler training camp for vacation, and they are happier than if you sent them to Turks and Caicos on a all-paid, expense-paid vacation. I'm telling you. And that's great. And that's what Steeler Nation's all about. But as a rookie or as someone new to this, it is an eye-opening experience that not many teams have.
Do you think that adds to the competition sometimes where you feel like guys are showing out because they look at like the simulation of there's people around, let's go, let's play football?
It's a crowd. It raises the level of intensity because you got fans cheering, you got people there. Because normally you got to practice. If you have music, that's about it. That's the only thing that's going to get you hype. But when you're out there, and especially in camp when you need it the most, because those days after, what, 3 or 4 days, your legs are tired, that alarm comes earlier, it just takes you longer to get out of bed. It just sucks. Camp stinks.
Oh,
I don't care how you say it. It's great for fans, but players, sucks.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of St. John Fisher. I mean, that kind of has the same vibe, too. And, you know, that's a great question, Colin. Like, does the competition rise whenever you're in a practice and there is a lot of people? And it does, for sure. I mean, created somewhat of a name during camp at St. John Fisher because there were so many Buffalo Bills fans. I mean, there was days where people were bringing me my favorite snacks. I mean, you just create a relationship with the fans that's so cool, and you know that they are going to maybe pay a lot of money to watch the season go, but when you're up close and impersonal, it is such a great experience.
Well, and I think it leads us down the path of how much legitimacy is there. That's great. There's people in the stands. It pads on for some of these practices now, full 11 on 11. But how much can you judge, for instance, everybody going gaga over George Pickens?
Well, you have to temper it. And Doran, you know this. After they've been through OTAs and a week or two of training camp, you start to get to know who you're going against. You're going against the same guy every day. So Pickens may know Levi Wallace. He's good on short to intermediate, but I know he can't run. So I'm making sure on this play, any play they run a go route, that I'll take Levi. I got him. And you just know how to game the practice. And that's why you really have to temper everything until you see that in real games, in preseason games. Now, with that said, you want to see him making plays. You don't want to see him dropping the ball or getting covered, but you really have to really take it with a grain of salt.
It's funny that you mentioned that, you know, you start to know your opponent. I mean, I used to negotiate with Mario Williams to make sure he didn't put me in the earth every single practice.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd be like, come on, Mario, hold on. Just take it easy.
It's the brother-in-law practice. Absolutely. Yeah. We used to do that all the time in high school. Like, yeah. We don't need no Thursday heroes around here.
And Doran made a great point. You know, looking at some of the film that's come out from training camp, there's a great clip yesterday of George Pickens making this really nice catch as he goes into the end zone. But you see the trailing safety just kind of puts a hand on him. Yeah. And the safety coming from across the field, which I think is Minka, if it's a game, puts a shoulder right in his chest, buries.
There's a catch everybody celebrating from George Pickens right now that the video's on. The guy manning up is in khakis and a baseball cap. It's a coach. I don't want to hate on the catch because it's a good catch.
Absolutely.
But the dude isn't padded out. It's a coach.
Absolutely. As I said, you're happy that he's making these highlights things, but you got to temper everything. And the thing that I'm really interested to see when it comes game day, a lot of these highlights I've seen have been double catches. Those aren't catches in the NFL. You know what I mean? Those double catches, because there's going to be somebody there, and they're coming down and swiping. So I'm just saying, let's temper.
Adam Crowley, what did you say about an hour ago on the air?
I said I've been hearing that George Pickens is a big double catch guy. Mm-hmm. And that could be a problem when you got a safety actually playing the position.
Yep. And you got guys with tight coverage. We'll see. But that's what the games are about.
South Hills guys think alike. That's a Mount Lebanon guy, St. Clair guy. You guys can actually get together.
No, that's why. Astute observations.
Astute.
I should be a GM.
Yeah. What's your fantasy team going to be called? Yeah.
Just don't draft who from Florida State, Doug? If you're a GM? What quarterback? Don't draft who?
Oh, EJ Manuel?
Yeah, probably not. No, that's the only advice Doug gives.
Well, if you do, don't do it in the first round.
That's my man. Absolutely. That's my man right there. Oh, this is why he's great. This is the best hour of radio in the city. Doug, you're the best. It's Wednesdays with Whaley. We take him all the way up to the top of the hour. I was making you say the name. I wasn't going to say EJ Manuel.
I'll just say
so
it.
You know. All right. Text us.
The man owns it. He owns it.
Hey, I'm the first person to say I screwed up. If you can't admit mistakes in life, I don't want to know you.
Yep. Oh, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates remind you to text responsibly. Would you make a trade or at least call the Chicago Bears? Let's talk about that coming up next, because I think that there's a lot of meat there to this conversation. But first, lots going on. Why don't you do good? Why don't you help out some kids, right? The annual Bazzi and Bubba Backpack Drive. Back again August 12th. That's in a couple days. It's Friday. Schultz Ford in Wexford. Help them out. Starting at 6 a.m., Bubba and Mel from Star Pittsburgh. They're going to be live there at the Wexford location, streaming all day. Have local food vendors, all kinds of great things. Long story short, bring a backpack, bring some school supplies, take them to the Wexford location of Schultz Ford. Bazzi and Bubba's Backpack Drive, Friday morning.
I can't believe Crowley agreed with me. WVU, man.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Doug, we'll dive deeper into, because I want to give it a little bit of time, so let's do it in the next segment, the Chicago Bears and perhaps maybe finding a trade partner with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that would make some sense, or at least some people do think it would make sense. Preseason game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Preseason game number one. Quarterback rotation that makes sense to you, and tell me why.
Trubisky, two series. After that, I would go Mason till the set for the first half, the rest of the first half, and Kenny Pickett second half. And it just gives Trubisky, the first team offense, a chance just to get their sea legs, just to get wet. Have him be able to call a play in the huddle and everybody be able to listen to him. Him break the huddle, him direct the offense for at least two series. Probably won't throw maybe two or three passes, but just get that flow going. Have Mason come in, have him work with the twos and maybe some remnants of the one, especially if the offensive line isn't doing too well. Have him see what he can do, and then Pickett. It's more to me, Pickett doing the second half is just getting into that game flow. And not, like, think about it. He never heard a play called in his ear before. He right. ran over to the sideline.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people, you got to think about things like right. this. It's a whole different thing to hear somebody talking in your ear and then to regurgitate it to a huddle and then break the huddle and then call plays and identify the mic and see all that stuff. That's a process that he hasn't done before.
You mentioned scouts being there at watching things both at camp and in preseason games. How much can they see from Mason Rudolph, for example, to make to change his trade market if there is one before week one?
So, especially other teams that are possibly thinking about trading for Mason Rudolph, it's going to be a collection of what they thought of him coming out of college, what they've seen of him playing in the pros already, and then where is he now? Has he pointed up? Has he gotten any better, or has he leveled off, or is he pretty much what they think he is, or maybe even declining it? So they're going to use a whole combination of thought process from what they've learned from him before. But I think the thing about Mason Rudolph is people forget he's won games in the NFL. So you also got to think, what are they trading for him? Are they trading for him to be a starter, or are they trading for him to be a solid backup that they know can hopefully keep you 500 if your starter goes down? So there's, as I always say, there's dislike, but how bad do you dislike him? And then there's like, and how much do you like him? So you may dislike Mason as your starter, but some teams will be like, I love him as my backup. So it's all relative.
So should there be a high emphasis behind Kenny Pickett on being smart? Because if the rotation is for the first game, as you know, I was on the same lines as you the other day, how you disperse the series. He's going to be going against threes probably. Mm-hmm. And the speed of the game is going to be faster, but he'll be able to adjust because Kenny's a smart player. And he'll be able to extend plays with his legs like he did in college. But next game, the second game, he'd probably get reps with the twos.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother level. You're not going to be able to extend plays and try to get that extra effort yard.
Right.
You're not going to be, you need to learn to throw it away and not try to force something in. Should the emphasis be for Kenny, just play smart? Just go out there and do things the smart way.
That's a great point, and that's one of the things that is really going to be on Kenny, because you want Kenny to be able to manage the game and not try to go out there and press. And press or impress, because when you're trying to impress and do things outside of your comfort level, that's when the mistakes happen. That's when the interceptions happen. That's when the pre-snap penalties happen, because you're thinking too much and you may say on one and then it's on two or stuff like that. So for him to just to do what he is capable of doing and playing, and knowing that a throwaway, a slide, and not scrambling and try to make that 15-yard run to get the first down. You know what? Let me throw it away, or you know what? Let me get 5 yards and slide and not try to juke somebody out, because, like you said, you're not used to that speed. You're not used to those linebackers being 4-4. You're those safeties coming out like Minka and hitting you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do that fake slide against Wake Forest, because only probably two of those Wake Forest players are in the league now.
Right.
So that's what he has to get, and that's why I say having him take time to do that so he can learn that is better than throwing him in against the ones or the twos right away.
We come right back, talk about a trade proposal and somebody who wants out of Chicago. Get into that coming up next here. It's Wednesdays with Whaley till the top of the hour right here. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Yeah, and with the storms that rolled through this past weekend, let's be honest, there could be some damage to your home. Could be damage to the roof. Maybe the roof you knew was already due to be replaced. That's why you need to find somebody you trust for that perfect new roof. It's why I'm glad I found PJ Fitzpatrick. They've been making the lives of Pennsylvania homeowners better one roof at a time for over 40 years. Thousands of five-star reviews to prove it at TrustPJ.com. They're installed by certified roofers using top-of-the-line materials. They back everything PJ Fitzpatrick with a lifetime guarantee on materials and labor. And get this, they can install most roofs in just one day. Set up your free design consultation this month. You'll save up to 20% off. They'll come out, they'll go up on your roof, video and picture, and then show you everything that's going on up there. Plus, they've extended that 12-month financing deal as well. Nothing down, no interest, no payments for qualified buyers. Again, PJ Fitzpatrick, I recommend them. Had our project manager out just the other day to go over some things with us. I recommend them. You don't have to just take my word for it, though. Go to TrustPJ.com. Check out all those five-star reviews for PJ Fitzpatrick.
Back real fast. That's perfect here. So, Chicago, they've got a linebacker who, I don't know, is he unhappy or is he what? Does Roquan Smith want to tell people he's unhappy so he gets paid more money from the Bears? The truth, maybe one side or the other or somewhere in the middle. Adam Crowley, our esteemed producer, who's also on the air and just part of our team, I guess. There's no real roles here. We just all talk. You came up with a trade proposal, or at least something you think that Omar Khan would – it's due diligence for Omar Khan to call Chicago and say what, Adam?
Well, I would consider, if I were the general manager, and we just talked about how I would be a great general manager, I would call them and I would say, what about Chase Claypool and a second round pick for one Roquan Smith? And we've even talked about it earlier. Maybe you do the Minkah Fitzpatrick deal. Maybe you see if they're interested in a first round pick. Doug, would you at least be doing your due diligence if you're Omar Khan on this Roquan Smith deal?
Yes, you have to really call and see, and obviously all the reports out of there are saying that they don't want to let him go and they're going to try to sign him. You make the cursory call and say, what would it take? I'm assuming that it would take a lot. And another thing that you really have to think about is you can't tamper. This is where that tampering comes in, because if you call them and say they don't want to trade him, you can't find out what his asking price is. Now, you could go back around and maybe reach out to the agent through someone else, through a third party, but because of the climate.
Why can't you just call and say, I propose a trade?
No, you can call the Bears.
Yeah.
But you don't know what he's going to want to sign for. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So you don't want to trade for somebody and not
know that.
You
could call his agent and say, what do we think?
That's tampering.
He is his own agent.
Exactly.
So how does that play
into it? That's tampering. Yeah. And the climate of the NFL right now, you do not want to call the player, especially with no agent. So you're really in a rock and a hard place. And do you want to give up Chase Claypool in a second or a first for a guy that's going to come in and say, I want more than Minkah? And guess what? I'm going to negotiate in the media. That's not the Steeler way. No matter what you thought about Deontay Johnson, he did it the right way. He came in the camp, did the sit-in, but he still was around his teammates, did individual drills, and didn't say a word in the media.
In this climate of legal tampering periods and people talking to other people, I'm naive to think that tampering just doesn't go on and there'd be organizations that just flat out, straight up, just don't call him or someone close to him and say, what's it going to take next year to sign here? If we trade for you now, we want to make sure it's not just a short-term deal and you're here for the rest of the year. We want to lock you up. What's the dollar amount, my man? I would circumnavigate that rules and take the risk that the NFL is going to catch me.
Any other year? Absolutely. No doubt. But what just happened in the NFL with this tampering with Miami, you just can't do it right now. It's just not worth it. That's just really flying in the face of the NFL and saying, throwing up the middle finger, like, who cares? We don't care what you're thinking.
So in this situation, so say it does play out, you know, what does that mean for Devin Bush? I mean, is he a guy that you think, even if this doesn't, you know, happen, and it's probably not going to happen with Roquan Smith, but Devin Bush, he is listed as an or guy with Spillane. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that Devin Bush could come back and be the type of player that they thought he was going to be, that they traded up to get? And if he isn't, would that be one of the worst draft picks for the Steelers in history?
Well, let's say, what did people think of Bush before his injury? Everybody thought his trajectory was going to be commiserate to where he was drafted. So to me, it's more of, can he get back there? And if not, then the mental side of it was the thing that they overdrafted. Because once he got presented with an obstacle in life and a setback, he was not able to step up to that challenge and overcome it. Because before that injury, no one can say that he wasn't on a trajectory where everybody thought he'd be really good.
As a personnel executive, do you hesitate when you start to see that you're, I guess, chasing a problem? And what I mean is, the Pittsburgh Steelers thought they had the off-ball linebacker position locked up for a decade, and then Ryan Chazier goes down. So perhaps they struggle to find a replacement there, and they chase it a little bit. They trade three picks to move up 10 spots to get Devin Bush, but now they see that maybe Devin Bush isn't working out. Roquan Smith comes, perhaps becomes available, and then you're looking again, well, are we getting out from underneath the sunk cost of Devin Bush and what we've done to acquire him, or are we just sinking more into it by now dealing, we talked about prospective first-round pick or a second-round pick in a player, and then having to extend him at $17, $18 million a year? At what point do you get gun-shy?
You can't. Because when you get gun shy, then that's when you're paralyzed and you don't try to get better. The thing you have, in my opinion, and this is what we talked about before, the thing you have to do is admit a mistake and move on and say, but when you see that mistake and admit mistake, say, what caused us to make that mistake and learn from that? Now, if you repeat it, then that's on you. But if you learn from it and take another shot at it, you're if you haven't missed, you haven't scouted. So you're going to miss. It's a subjective business, and even the Hall of Famers have missed a lot. But you just got to keep trying. But you got to try with the auspice of, this is what messed up. This is where we failed last time. Let's not do this. This is where we had success, and let's try to build off of that.
It's Wednesdays with Whalen. We come right back, take you till the top of the hour. Ron and Joe will be in at that point. It is Doug Whalen here with us, Fan Morning Show. All right, last segment with Doug, Wednesdays with Whalen. So Roquan Smith, he once traded. We were talking about him, linebacker, inside linebacker, Chicago Bears. And I said off the air, representing yourself, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if you're an attorney, right? Mm-hmm. I think representing yourself as a professional athlete is the dumbest thing you can do. You tell me your reaction to that.
Here's why I say you're wrong. Because the NFLPA is there for you. They have a copy of every single contract that is signed. They can advise you. So between your lawyer and the NFLPA, you can say, I want whoever's contract. Look, so Lamar Jackson, he can say, give me Deshaun Watson's contract. He can look over it and see everything that's in there, have a lawyer review it, and then for me, if I would say, I'd say inflation's 9% and then another 2% cost of living, 11% more money than what he did, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
It's already signed, so you know, and it's going to be approved by the NFL. Now,
well, what do I want a public defender when I can get Bobby Del Greco for, though?
But what
you know
is
what
Bobby Del Greco going to do besides take 3% when you can buy, have a lawyer do it for a flat fee or charge you by the hour? Now,
good
now,
question.
Now,
good.
Hold on.
All right, I'll answer
now,
that. Can I answer that question? What's he going to do that? Why I would pay 3%?
Yeah.
Because I don't want a mistake happening on the front end that charges that ends up costing me 20% on the back end.
But there's no mistake because you're going to have that contract from the NFLPA and there's no mistakes there. Or you see that, you read through it and you're like, well, they put this into Sean's a de-escalator or a four-hour video-watching clause that they put in Kyler
Murray's. But how am I smart enough to read that? and know it. That's
I'm with Colin. Lawyer. I would want somebody aside from the lawyer who has the expertise in reading the contract.
That's the NFLPA. That's right. What I'm trying to tell you.
They will advise you.
They will say, "Hey, look at these are some options in this contract that we haven't seen before, but were agreed upon. You use them as a resource." Just like a librarian, you use that as a resource. That's what the NFLPA is there, to protect the players. And that's what you pay your union dues for. So for me, you need a lawyer. Now, what you do need is a marketing agent, an agency, and a branding agency so you can get all the off-the-field revenue streams. But for on the field and the NFLPA and the contract with a team, and the only thing I would say that you do expose yourself to is catching feelings. Mm-hmm. And that's what Roquan Smith is doing now, because they lowballed him. So he's catching feelings, and then he turns sour against the organization and not being able to separate the business from
the other thing is you can't negotiate and play simultaneously without intertwining those things. That is to say, let's take Roquan Smith.
Okay.
He could be on the practice field, or he could be doing things and have somebody else doing the negotiation. If he's his own agent, he's just a singular person. That being said, he's inundated in both worlds. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I'll check with my agent after practice. He's got to go from, if he would be practicing, straight from the practice field to then negotiation, or straight from the practice field to worrying about the legal aspects of it. Yeah. There's no separation of the two.
I'm paying 3% for the convenience of someone doing all that.
Correct.
Well,
it's like someone cutting your grass.
You can.
You could do it if you want.
Absolutely.
You just don't want to do it.
But I just don't think it's a detriment. And there's been guys that have negotiated their contracts by themselves and have done very well. Bobby Wagner. These guys, I think it's going to be more and more because it's not that difficult.
Uh-uh.
You think it is? Football players can compartmentalize. And when they get off the football field, they can study, and then they can still go and say, hey, lawyer, what'd you find? Anything? NFLPA. Is there any clauses in there that I should be aware of? Yes, you should. Lawyer, look at these clauses. Well, you know what? I want to look at somebody else's contract. What did they throw in there for escalators? Okay, let's throw that in there. That's okay. Football players aren't just football players. Mm-hmm. They're multifaceted people that can do more than one thing than just play football. So that's where I disagree with you. And they have the resources.
I think I definitely know that they can do more than one thing. I just wonder if they want to do more than one thing.
I would want to, because I wouldn't want to give up my money to something that I think that I can do, and football players think that they can, professionals think they can do a lot. So yeah. I would want to be in full control of my destiny and my future.
And like you said, though, there are some people like me, I'd be the same way. Give me the convenience. So when I'm done, I can go throw on some video games or go watch a movie. You do that. But there's other guys that are DIY, do it yourself people. And we have those facets of people in society, and same in the sports.
We were talking about the new owner in Denver earlier, the guy who mispronounced Goodell's name, called him Goodell.
Goodell.
How many owners do you think are actually in touch with the game? Like, actually, because it looked to me like Rob Walton is like, I got how many billions of dollars, and I'm just investing a few more billion. This is just a business opportunity for me.
Here's your guy.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
There's your boy. It's your boy. Go get your boy. Go get your boy here, Doug. Go get him. Right.
Hey, how many owners are like that?
Like Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
Go. Somebody go. Who's your pawpaw talking to here? Go get him.
Less and less, because the value of these organizations are going up so high, there's a very few rarefied air of people that can afford them, and 99.9% of them don't know about football.
It's like investing in a painting at this point,
yeah.
Like you're an art.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, because it's more of a, like you said, an art piece. It's something that they say,
it's about the money. Just about the money.
That's going to happen. Yeah. So
investing.
Why don't I?
It's their investors. They don't care about what they're investing in. It's just like, is there a product that I can make my money back or make more of it?
I'm going to get 2,000% return in 15 years.
And it's proven.
Why wouldn't I?
And it's proven.
Yeah.
And you have a guaranteed revenue stream.
Yes.
So it's a great investment. But that's what you're getting. You're getting people looking at it as more of an investment than I want a football team and I love football and I want to win championships.
Like in economics, like guns and butter or widget or something. It's just a generic term. It just happens to be men playing football.
And I hate to say it, and I hope I ruin a lot of people's sports streams around here in Pittsburgh, but when fans realize that football is just like any other business, you're dealing in commodities. And I don't mean to degrade football players because they're humans, but when you look at it as football as a business, it's just commodities. Buy low, sell high. Get a return on investment and increase the value. That's all it is. So when you think of moves that are made, switch it from football to widgets. And then you'll understand. Yes. That's all it is.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong, fans. Enjoy the game. It's a great game. But when it comes down to it, it's a business.
No better way to get you hyped for preseason football Saturday night, Steelers in Seattle.
At AccuSure.
Yes, at AccuSure.
Evaluate those 53 commodities.
Yeah, the widgets out there, those widgets out there running around. Thank you, Doug. It's been great. Wednesdays with Whaley.
I can't wait to hear Twitter now.
I wonder how Jack Ham feels about those widgets.
I think every 3 months I'll just throw something out there just because people.
No booster with a big enough blank check.
Yes. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Join them for the first responder in 2023 Corvette Z06 Tour. That is August 10th. And today it's cloudy. Some rain around, especially out east. High in the lower 80s.
That's the weather.
Yep, and I'm here to talk about my favorite place to shop, and that's Salem's Market and Grill. My guys at Salem's Market and Grill in the Strip District truly have the best butcher shop. It is unreal. The best steaks, burgers, chicken, lamb, sausage, all the freshest meats. Not only do they have the best meats, but last night I threw a beautiful strip steak on the grill and seasoned it with some Salem's homemade Montreal seasoning. So, so much flavor in every single bite. You can also use the seasoning on your burgers and lamb. You really can't go wrong with any of the mixtures of spices in the Montreal seasoning. Order online, Salem's Market and Grill, salemsmarketgrill.com today. You can even order on Uber Eats and have it delivered right to your door. I did it. It was great. Thank you, Salem's. You rock.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.